B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 11 o'clock and you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the car show. That's right, the 2020 Philly Auto Show. All kinds of awesomeness right here at the PA Convention Center as we hang out. And let us go to one of our old friends. We love him. He's doing a great job right now for the Philadelphia Flyers. And I love his Flyers daily. That's right. He is Jason Martinez. What's up, brother?
Oh, hi.
What's up,
man? What's going on, boys?
What's up, my man?
How you guys doing?
No, it's good to hear your voice. It's good to, well, we've seen you and we've talked to you, but it's great to actually sit and talk to you on the show again, brother.
It's good to be with you, boys.
You know, we miss
a lot of good stuff to get to, man. I saw you down at the barn the other night, sitting on the glass.
Yeah, what brother. Look at, you know what I mean? A little big tipper
action. Sitting on the glass, huh? Bring
South
Tunis down there, too?
Yes, I brought the Tunis with me to sit on the glass.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow,
yeah, it's awesome.
Educating the lad, huh?
Yeah, you know, gotta, taking him under my wing. I got to tell you, you are in your glory right now working for the Flyers and putting out some incredible content. And this team, you've been waiting. We've been waiting, but I know you. You've been waiting for this. And there is no ceiling to this team. We're just talking about it, Chase.
Yeah, I was listening to you guys, and I heard Sammy earlier, you know. They're a team that they just keep coming at you despite, you know, whatever the situation is. You heard earlier in the show, mentioned the Islander game where they come down from 3-0. They get it tied. Unfortunately, they get that goal, and they don't have a good shift after they get it tied, so they don't get a loser point out of it. But, you know, to beat a team, and you mentioned this, you beat a team Florida twice in a couple of days. It's really difficult to do. And, you know, this isn't your mom and pop's Florida team. They're a legit playoff
team. Yeah, yeah.
With some good players. Not only that, but you chased Bob out of the game last night. How about that?
I know.
Oh, but Borowski got the hook after the first.
It's not just Sanheim who owns Bob. All the Flyers own Bob.
Yeah, this year, you're right. I mean, he had really good numbers against the Flyers when he was in Columbus.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Pitlick goal is one that I know that they didn't like, and that was probably the one that determined he was going to get the old hook last night. So it was good to get him out of there, and they kept coming in the third, and, you know, all the way to the final horn, you know what they say, it's a stupid cliche, you got to play the full 60. They get a power play goal with, like, 32 seconds left in the game.
What do you think I mean, obviously, AV system, and you talked about his system, and I remember you telling me you're going to love it, and he knows how to win. Is it that? Is it the mix of veterans and youth? What's been the biggest reason for this kind of success?
Well, I think it's kind of like a D all of the above with that, you know? Like, in the beginning of the season, I remember you and I were talking on the show, and it was, well, we really got to be a little bit patient here because it is a totally different mentality they have to play with compared to what they did under Hackstall and Scott Gordon and for years. So it was going to take time for AV to find the combinations of players that could do what he wanted them to do, which is why I think you saw so much juggling through the first half of the season with combinations and getting guys going. And, you know, finally guys got to get out there and not think about the game and just make it instinctual. And I think that's what's happened in a lot of, you know, the last couple of weeks and really the last month. When you go into St. Louis and you win that game in overtime against a really good Blues team that was 9-0 at home at that time, and then you go to Washington and you beat the brakes off the Caps 7-2, and you just see this relentless coming waves kind of system that he runs, and he's not afraid to put any line out there in any situation. And when you get six different goal scorers, I mean, that's a big stress on an opponent, man. And that's, you know, we talk about the Sixers, and I know you say built for 16. Well, when you get depth scoring and goaltending in the NHL, at that coach, you're pretty dangerous. I think a lot of teams in the Eastern Conference right now would not choose them as the team they want to match up against because how well they play against the good teams in the NHL.
Yeah, and we're talking to Jason on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. You know, one of the things, too, is like, you're right. Like, they get an array. They have an array of scoring from anywhere. I mean, look at how well the defensive guy, Haig, is playing, right? Sanheim. Like, they're getting contributions everywhere.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, they're the second leading defensive core in scoring in the league. You look at them and you go, like, somebody hit me on Twitter the other day and said, when are we going to have a David Pastrnak? Why can't we score like those teams? Well, the Flyers are 10th in scoring in the league. They might even be 9th now after last night. I mean, so they score goals. It just comes more spread out. You know, they don't have a guy that's going to score 40 goals like Ovechkin or like David Pastrnak or, you know, Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl. Yeah. They got, everybody's going to chip in, and it's going to depend whose night it is. And I heard Sammy earlier going, you know, try and bet like who's going to score for the Flyers in the game. Here's the bet. Anybody that plays with Couturier.
He has been a monster. I mean, he's playing so well. I got to tell you, the other guy, and you were always on from the beginning, but who reminds me of BC reincarnated, is Konechny.
Like, yeah, he's a gamer, isn't he?
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Did you see the other night? So it's 3-2 before they tie it, right, against the Islanders up in Brooklyn. He's close. And he's on the ice, and he, like, he's dying, right? Like, he's dying. We're so close. He was so close, and he pounded the ice. And I'm going, look at this kid. This kid loves to compete.
Yeah, he was a captain at every level before getting to the NHL. He's just a leader and a guy who plays really hard. And, you know, we talked about this a ton of times, you and I, how he's just built for today's game with all that skill and all that speed. And then he's got a nice dose of Bassett in him too. You know?
Yes, yeah. That's what I'm saying. He reminds me of BC reincarnated.
Yeah, and he'll stay in there and mix it up. You know, it's funny, the game on Monday against the Panthers, I got in the locker room after I finished post game. He still had not come into the locker room, and I was sitting down interviewing a player after the game, and he walked in. He's in all of his equipment but his skates. He just drops his skates in the middle of the floor. He was in the medical room. He blocked 5 shots and he took a pounding. Like, yeah. He's not the guy you go, yo, we need you to block shots.
Right,
but he's willing to do it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And winning hockey is everybody coming with that mentality to sell their body out to block shots. And he did it in that game. And he didn't end up on the score sheet, but I tell you what, he got the helmet that night because he won the respect of his teammates.
It was funny. We had AV on the other day and he brought that up. About him blocking shots. It was funny because he also talked about, well, we needed somebody to get in front of Pollock's shot. I'm like, who's getting in front of that howitzer?
Yeah, that thing's 100 miles an hour, dude. And yeah, it's heavy, big, and he bombed it, and he had great accuracy on that shot. But yeah, I don't know that a forward should be getting in front of that. I'll take the L there and lose the point. I don't need to lose a player for the rest of the season because he's been impaled by a puck.
Exactly. Nah, but hey, real quick, I'm just curious. Do you feel, when we look at Hart, right, and it's impossible to project, but you know him, you're around him, how do you think he fares playoff-wise? Like, how do you think he approaches the playoffs? I mean, obviously, we don't think it's going to be too big a moment for him, but how do you kind of foresee that when it happens?
Well, I mean, it's hard to tell what a playoff's going to do to any young player, and especially at that position, and considering the history here, but if you look for somebody that's built to handle it, it's him. Because, I mean, he's had a sports psychologist, a guy named John Stevenson, since the age of 13. He's played for his country in the World Juniors and on the biggest stages for years. And in Canada, that is a huge deal. So he's been on big stages before. So I think what he's going to do is he's just going to do what he does. He's going to stick to his routine. He's so rigid in his routine. A lot of goalies are. Him even more so, because when a goalie gets on the ice, they lose control. You can't dictate at that position. So goalies tend to be a bit OCD before, during, stoppages and all those things in games, because it's the only thing that you can truly control, and that's your mind and your routine. So he's very rigid in what he does, and I imagine he won't change a thing. And I can't see him being, you know, real flappable in that situation, just because he's so mature beyond his years. I mean, I'll interview him, and he'll come back like 10 minutes later and be like, hey, was that all right? Do we need to do any of that over again or anything like that? You know, like, when does that happen with a pro athlete?
Right. Nah, please. Are you kidding me?
Such a good kid. Man.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Hey, not to mention his abilities as a bully. You know?
Exactly. Hey, do me a favor and tell the audience about what you're doing with the Flyers and how they can get all the podcasts you're doing, which is incredible.
Yeah, I've been really blessed and got lucky and, you know, landed a good landing spot. The Flyers Broadcast Network was launched a couple weeks ago, and we launched a whole suite of podcasts, including the Flyers I do every day, which is obviously every day. It's a daily one, so about anywhere between 10 and 20 minutes long, and it kind of recaps the night, what's going on. We get interviews on there. Like, I had Nicholas Aubé-Kubel on from the locker room last night. You know, the modern technology makes that possible for me to be able to record those guys from home. And so we get interviews on there, and it's been great. People are really responding to it. A lot of interaction on Twitter and social media with it. I also do one every other week, every 10 to 14 days, called Flyers 6, which is a long form one. And we just had Alain Vigneault on there for a 20-minute sit-down, and then we had a sit-down with both Claude Giroux and Michael Raffel together, which was really interesting.
Oh,
we didn't
awesome.
Talk much hockey. We talked more about, you know, just, you know, breaking balls and that kind of stuff in the locker room. So it was really cool, a little peek behind the curtains. And there's, you know, there's our prospect podcast as well that comes out once a month. Andrea, who's the in-arena announcer, is doing everything but hockey with a lot of the wives and girlfriends. A lot of really cool stuff. Go to FlyersBroadcastNetwork.com. You can see all the info there on all of them. Subscribe, leave us ratings and reviews. It's been a lot of fun.
That is awesome. FlyersBroadcast.com?
BroadcastNetwork.com, yeah.
Yeah, FlyersBroadcastNetwork.com. Brother, you're killing it, man. I'm so proud of you. So, what's that?
Is Ben going to start shooting or what?
Cuss. Did you see the game he had the other night?
He was a monster, dude. I love him.
He was a beast. He was a beast. And 65 possessions, he guarded Kawhi Leonard and made him work.
Yeah.
He made him work. He guarded him 65 possessions and gets you triple-double.
Yeah, that's the most impressive thing, is that he didn't wear himself out guarding Kawhi the entire game.
I mean, he's a freak.
He's a gazelle. Yeah,
he is.
Gazelle.
He's a freak. He plays 43 minutes. Freak.
Yeah,
freak.
The other guy, Joe, on the other hand, we got to get him Pat Krejci.
Yeah.
He needs Pat Krejci and Moses Malone to come back to help him out, like Moses helped Barkley.
That's right. Sounds good, brother. You're the man. Listen, I love you, buddy. Be careful on your drive, man, all right?
Yeah, I got the old lady behind the wheel. We're heading down to Charleston, South Carolina right now. It's a hockey tournament for the boys.
Nice. Give everybody my love, all right? Hug the family
for
me.
No doubt.
All right, brother.
No doubt. Enjoy,
buddy. Thanks, brother. There he is, Jason Martinez. We'll be checking in with Jason during the Flyers run as he's locked in, loaded. Tunis.
Flyers are playing great. I'm excited, man.
Yeah, we saw him the other night.
Yes, we did. I'm excited for this team.
Yeah.
And, you know, once they make the playoffs, hopefully the city gets behind them a little bit more. Because they're still, I think people are still hesitant.
They will.
Right now, but soon.
Yep. All right. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. That's how you reach us. We're live, the Philly Auto Show, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 11:23, back live at the Philly Auto Show. Tunis is... you suck.
Come on, man.
No, but you were singing the what is it?
Chicken fried chicken,
what?
Zach Brown Band, Chicken Fried.
Zach Brown, like I'm supposed to know that.
Come on, man. I'm going to take you to a Zach Brown Band concert.
I'm out, dude.
Dude, it's a great
show.
I'll
take you... You know, we've been hanging out. I've been taking you places. The one place I will never go is a country music concert.
I'm looking forward to this summer. All right. Tim McGraw, Luke Combs, Midland.
I got no interest in Pat Combs.
Citizens Bank Party.
No.
You know who Pat Combs is?
He's not a country artist.
You know who he was?
No.
He was a pitcher for the Phillies.
Is that right?
Pat Combs, yes.
What year?
I don't know. 90s. Who knows? But, no, I'm not going to Pat Combs concert. I'm not going to, you know, Jones Daniel and Pat
Scott Pat
and Dan Joe.
Is that his name, Dan Joe?
Joe Dan concert. It's live at the Joe Dan concert. We're Dan Joe concert.
Oh, man.
You know.
Oh, man. They got the Jeeps. Are the uncles country fans?
No.
No?
No.
It's bad.
They're out. Yeah. All right, let me get to Nicky. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Nick!
Gentlemen!
What's up, brother? What are you doing, man?
You know what? Last night I go to bed after a Flyers win. And I'm going, and I listened to, you know, I was so busy yesterday, so all I did was listen. So Gary Smith is fabulous. I mean, I love Gary Smith, the soccer announcer with the kind of Wales accent, but Gary Smith is right there, right behind him.
Thank you, bro. That's my man, Gary. He was, he's my mentor. He was a great, he is, and he's one of the great American writers.
I love it. You can tell. And Trudy, you went toe to toe. You know, in philosophical, educational conversation, you guys went toe-to-toe, and I loved it. I really loved it. But I won't get into that because you guys have all been pictures. I called because I went to bed last night, and I went, wow, the Flyers are now in fifth. Now, some people argue they're tied for fourth, but then they're in fifth place, even points in for fourth. And the 76ers are in fifth place also. And we're, like, past late point for both of them. If you had to put your hard cash... Or just your time, real hard cash on one of these two teams to go further in the playoffs. And again, these are all our kids.
Why are you doing that, man? You are. You're pitting each other. Who's going to do better? Anthony or Massimo?
Okay, never mind. I'll take it back. This is what I realized. We're at an inflection point right now.
Bastard.
We're at an inflection point right now because everything the Flyers are doing, I see positive growth. I see a happy team. Now, they're hockey players, so they don't give you a lot. They talk a lot, but they don't give you a lot. But you can see that there's something there because as more they play more games, they become more solid of a team. Now, if we can't exclude the last game against the Clippers. That was a fabulous game. Okay. But you said for the Sixers to win the East, okay, they're plus 600. So what you're saying is, Do you trust Brett Brown? And if you do, you go plus 600, right? Because at the end of the day, yes. Brett Brown showed us something last game. But
yes.
Players are so fragile.
Oh, my God. Accept that they play great? They beat the Clippers. Can they play another game before you hit me with this? Can you take the great game? You can't even delete the first 54. I asked to delete it. You said no.
No, that was somebody else. I didn't take that pack yet. I heard the pack. A couple people yesterday took the 54. Okay, you know, raced the 54.
Would you do that? You know, the answer is no. I know.
No, listen. Because again, at the end of the day, I want all our teams to succeed. So I'm taking.
Listen. I would never question your heart or your motive. Where's that? What happened to him? We lost him. Where'd he go? Where'd Nick go? Anyway, I would never question, Nick, I'm talking to you now. I don't know what happened to you, but I would never question your heart or your motive. Never, ever. I believe in your heart and motive. My only point to you is, I mean, what about now? Like, why are we... Why now? Why are we so dubious now? They have a new lineup, right? And you wanted to go Flyers v. Sixers. Who goes farther? I know that's where you're headed. You can't pick the teams against each other. That goes against 4-for-4, 1-on-1.
This is the time where you enjoy the ride. Well, I mean, you're enjoying the Flyers ride more than the Sixers ride, right? Because the Flyers, you don't have these expectations. You just sort of, you're sitting back and seeing what can happen.
Right, Sixers give you more angst. But again, that game said something. And look, Brett coached it differently. Brett called more plays. Until they lose a playoff series,
they're in it.
I'm going to be, and I don't care if it drives you nuts, but I'm going to be full throttle, play the song.
Well, good. Plus, it's not like they're a game and a half out now of the four seed, right? Because the Heat lost the other night. It's like, I don't know, this doom and gloom notion that, oh my God, they're not going to get home court.
The other night, that was a great game. Like, that was a great basketball game the other night.
And it's the first time you saw this new rotation.
Right.
Because Burks missed the first game, right? So, first time you see this new rotation.
Rich, like, they're back. Like, that, you know, again, they're playing. And they didn't just win because they got hot from three or banging threes. Like, that wasn't like a fluky win. Like, I understand when people bring up the Christmas Day win against Milwaukee. They go, look, you hit a bunch of threes.
20 threes, right.
Right, you chased them out early. I feel you. But that Clipper game was legit against an elite contender with Paul George and Kawhi and the Williams. I mean, that was a ball. It was a great basketball game. It was played well. They wanted to win. You know, I do know. Last night that they went to double overtime against the Celtics. And the flippant Celtics won. Now, one of our next guests is a Celtic fan. He's a funny, funny guy. He's a great story, too, Tunis. How many people, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
If you were on Wall Street and you're a lawyer, right, and you're an attorney, you graduated from Georgetown Law School,
wow.
All right, and then you become an investment banker on Wall Street. So, God only knows how much you're banking, right? Why would you give it up to be a struggling comedian? Not to be struggle, but to be a comedian.
I don't know. It's a good question.
Serious.
That's a good question. I don't know.
Is that not insane?
Unless you're tired of the grind of the Wall Street or something, I don't know. But then the comedian games, that's a grind, too.
There's
shows all over the place, right?
Yes. So his name is Paul Mercurio, and Paul is a terrific, really, really funny guy. And he's, in fact, you can see him tonight, this weekend, all weekend long, at Punchline Philly. He's here tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. You can go to punchlinephilly.com. Let's get Paulie up here. Paul, what do you say, brother?
Hey, I'm really depressed after hearing that. You're right. I made a huge mistake.
Dude. What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I didn't plan on it. I'm like this middle class Italian kid, and I ended up in New York working on these merger corporate deals, and then I started writing jokes to Hobby, and I met Jay Leno at a private function, and I went up to him and I said, I don't know if you need jokes, but you can have these jokes. I'm never going to use them. And he was like, okay. he really talked like they're letting helium out of a balloon very slowly, right? And then a couple of days later, my phone rang, and I hear this. It's Jay Leno. It's Paul here. And I thought it was my friend David pulling a prank because I thought Jay Leno would never call me. And I go, yeah, really funny, David. He goes, not really, it's Jay Leno. I go, yeah, right. He goes, not really. And I actually said to Jay Leno, you do a lousy Jay Leno.
It's great.
And then people always say, did you know you were going to be a comedian? And I'm like, no. They were like, were you funny? I'm like, well, I was always the funniest lawyer in my law firm, okay? Exactly.
That's a great joke.
That's like saying you're the sexiest IT guy. That's not really saying much. And then, you know, I just decided to go for it. And I did corporate law, and people like, oh, you guys, that's the worst kind of lawyer because you put people out of jobs. You're evil. One guy said to me one time, you're evil. You kill kittens. I'm like, no, we would outsource that. So we basically just said, I got to try to do this full time. And I decided to go for it. And so walked away. It was crazy. But yeah, I mean, I'm happy I did it, but it was crazy.
How much were you making?
I was making $6.25 an hour. I was making $200 a week. No, I was making six figures. I was making...
You're investment bank, you're doing mergers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and you're probably making seven figures.
Well, I wasn't quite there yet, but I was like...
And you're on your way.
Yeah, oh, yeah, and then I, like, you know, and then I had to unravel everything and sell my apartment and start over again. But, yeah, I was making money. And, you know, I come from, you know, like I said, Italian family. My
Right. What did your father... Like, I can imagine your father, your mother, your father go, we sent you to Georgetown Law School, right? Because, like, I want to say to you, what the frig are you doing, man? Like, you're talented, but guess what? Go, what's wrong with you? What are you, Calabrese head? Like, your mother, your father probably are like, we did all this, and the kid wants to be a comedian?
She's like, I don't have a son, you know, like that.
You're right.
When I told my mother I wanted to leave Wall Street to be a comedian, she said this was the first thing out of her mouth she was in. I'm like, Mom, I think I'm going to leave Wall Street to be a comedian. She goes, that better be your first joke. She grew up in the Depression, and like they, you know, they're always worried about money, that generation, you know, and she's 93, and she has this furniture store that she's still running. But she won't
God bless her.
Yeah, she just, you know, and she basically, like, she goes through, on Sunday nights in Providence, they put the trash cans out, and she'll go through garbage looking for good garbage, not food, stuff that's broken that needs to be fixed, and then she gives it to her friend Mario and he fixes it. But the problem is she found her hearing aid in the garbage, and it whistles, like, all the time. Like, it's a piece of junk. So it's like, whenever you talk to her, it's like...
Is that me?
Oh, my God, that's like, a shame. Goodbye. Bye, the woman... Are you nuts? Get her a hearing aid, please.
She won't wear it. It's annoying. I have to live with it. It's like talking to a tea kettle in a house dress, okay? It's like ridiculous. And she will not use it. You go to my mother's store, and she's really forgetful, and she can't hear, and she forgets people or doesn't know people are in the store. She locks customers in the store. I'm not making this up, okay? I go there one day, the door's locked, and there's this like 60-year-old woman in the store. I go, man, what happened? She goes, well, I was looking around, I turned to ask your mother a question, I couldn't get out. I said, how long have you been here? She goes, 4 hours. I go, what are you doing? She goes, well, I browsed a lot. She goes, I took a nap on that sofa. And she goes, is your name Paul? I go, yeah. Well, the phone rang, and I took messages. She took messages for me, okay?
No, she didn't. Oh, my God.
So I'm yelling at my mother, like, Ma, you can't lock people in the store. She goes, oh, I don't know what you're yelling at me about. That woman took a nap on that sofa. She liked it so much, she's going to buy it. I made a sale, and I wasn't even in the store. I'm like, okay, I'm done.
That's great. That is great. You're here at Punchline, and tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. Do you like what strikes you about Philadelphia?
I love Philly. It's like where I grew up. There's a mix of people. It's Italians, it's Irish, and I think the ethnicity like applies. You know, I think it's good to sort of embrace being who you are. You know, everybody wants everybody to be the same now. And you know, like we're Italian. We're like, you know, the, you know, crazy yelling and all that other stuff. Yeah. Although the one thing when you hear Italian, you think of plastic on the furniture too. You know, that like really neat house, like where everything's spotless.
I used to peel myself off the couch in the summertime.
Yeah, it's that one room you go in only at Christmas and Easter, and in that room there's also a picture of the Pope, Jesus, and Frank Sinatra. And the Frank Sinatra picture is like three times the size of the Pope in the Jesus picture. My family. Yeah,
I hear you, brother. There must have been a thing where that's kind of. Plastic must be somehow, plastic on furniture must be a prerequisite when it came to this country.
Oh, like, absolutely. Yeah.
Like you're in Ellis Island and you go, all right, well, here's the plastic. Go make sure you cover the furniture.
And you sit in winter, right, like this, and within 2 minutes you're sitting there pulling your own sweat. Like, how does this happen? Like,
no, yeah, it's hard. It's awful. And the worst is when it would break open, like it would cut, like there would be a hole.
Right.
And it was, like, so then you feel like you would get stabbed. Like, you could lay on a couch, like, we watch a game or something, and the next thing you know, you got, like, a slice, clear cut.
I would just tell people I got in a knife fight, so I seem tough. That's what I would tell them. But the whole family, I got a cousin, he's in the mob, he runs numbers for, you know, like a small-time bookie.
And he sells stuff out of the trunk of his car. You know, he's one of these guys, my cousin Bobby. And he's a real character. At one point, he was selling suits, ratchets, and car alarms. Yeah. He was selling car alarms that he stole out of other people's cars. Okay.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. And he came dressed to my father's funeral. In now, this is an Italian Catholic, open Catholic funeral. He came in a fluorescent orange silk shirt, unbuttoned gold chain, white patent leather belt, and white slacks. Okay?
Oh, jeez. That's bad for the brand.
Yeah, he's like a creamsicle with chest hair, okay?
Yeah.
And he had white mesh loafers on his feet and no socks. So he put powder on his feet, but he put too much powder. So every time he walked toward the casket, puffs of white smoke were coming out of the top of his shoes.
they were electing a new pope.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, he's always like, you know, standing around with tight pants, like, and legs are always going, like he's got a live snake in his pants. Hey, how you doing? How you doing? How you
yeah,
doing?
Yeah, that's bad. Guys. Oh, that's bad.
Yeah,
that's bad.
Yeah,
it's bad for our brand. You know what I'm saying?
I know. We gotta up our game a little bit. Be a little bit more classy. You know, like,
exactly.
And the whole pasta and the bread and everything else. You know what? I think the Jews are similar. Like, a lot of, you know, Latinos, blacks, just like big.
Well, I got
families.
my man right here. The Jewish is a Lithuanian.
There you go. And it's that sort of family thing. And, you know, sometimes a lot of yelling, like, pass the salt. What did you mean by that?
You know? But you know what's funny is that once you realize that we're all the same. Like, you go to a black family, you go to a Jewish family, you go to a Lithuanian family, whatever. But you realize that family's family, and that we have so much in common when it comes to that. When you dive into people's culture, you go, oh, yeah, I guess we are kind of alike.
I mean, we're all a little nuts. I remember I met my wife in high school, and I took her. You know, they don't emote. They just drink martinis and get divorced. Like, that's what they do, right? Italians are like, you know, they're expressive, right? So we had the big Sunday dinner, right? You know, like 20 people, 17 pounds of pasta. There's like a heart attack kit right there. If somebody gets a heart attack eating like a loaf of bread. And so we go, we hang out, we eat, and then I leave. And I go, how was it? She goes, it was nice. And I go, what do you think? She goes, well, why is everybody so mad at each other? I go, what do you mean? She goes, everybody was yelling at each other the whole time. Why were they so mad at each other? I'm like, that's how we talk. We weren't yelling at each other.
Right. We're just loud. That's it. We're just loud people.
We're just loud and crazy. And so like that. And so, but she loves it, you know, like, because it's a different kind of person than she grew up with. And I think it's good to kind of get
outside
your own.
Yeah, I'm sure she does. That's awesome. That's cool.
Yeah.
All right, I got to get going. Let me ask you a question. Did you bring her down for Valentine's Day?
I did not. No, I left her home because, we've been together so long that I can get away with stuff like that. Because we met in high school, like I said, and it's funny, you know, we dated like 15 years before we got married. Yeah.
Oh, and, good for you.
Yeah, she That's proposed beautiful. Finally. Yeah.
Did she think you were crazy too, leaving that job on Wall Street?
She was like, I'm leaving you for a rich guy. And then she left. No.
Paul Mercurio.
Thank you, man. This is great.
I really appreciate it, bro. Listen, he's at the Punchline Philly tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. Really great guy. And I always wish you a lot of luck, man. You're a great story, buddy. So listen,
thank you,
good
man.
Luck to
you,
man.
Always great to me. And, love coming on your show. I'll see you next time I'm in town.
You got it, Paulie. Thanks, right, brother. Take it easy, buddy. There he is, Paul Mercurio. Funny dude. And is that not an amazing story?
That is crazy.
That he had that kind of job.
He's doing well, though, which is awesome. Yeah, but that's a huge risk, right?
Man. Come on. Hey, go to Georgetown Law. Right.
Unreal. That's unreal.
All right. Let's do this. Let's take a quick TO. 610-632-0975 as we hang out at the 2020 Philly Auto Show. Uncle Greg just chimed in because he didn't hear your country music thing. He's not a fan of the country.
No, he's not.
No. But he is a fan of the Jeep experience. Family Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
I bet he is.
So we'll come back in just a moment. A little bit later on in the show, you're going to hear from Tim Legler. And then we got to get back to the five. the Friday Five.
Got my answers.
You got your answers?
Yep.
All right,
yep.
Good. It's Cuz Radio with the tune. It's live from the 2020 Philly Auto Show.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, back live at the Philly Auto Show. Don't forget Path to the Pro, how to be a player in esports. You want to learn how to be a real player in the esports world? Come on out to Nerd Street today, 4 to 6 for the Path to the Pro pep rally. You're a fan of the Overwatch League. You think you and your kids have what it takes to be a gaming pro? This event is for you. You have a chance to meet some of the esports executives from Nerd Street, World Gaming Network, even some of the players from the Houston Outlaws and Philadelphia Fusion. That's the Path to Pro Pep Rally today, 4 to 6 Nerd Street, 908 North 3rd Street in Northern Liberties. The event is free, and we'll see you over there. All right, Tunis. Here's what Nikki had to say.
Oh, yeah?
You ready? He said, I'm all in on 2 for 2. Flyers are a gondola down the Grand Canal. Gives me a little Venice analogy. While sipping on Amarone's nuts. Sixers are a roller coaster at a rickety Jersey Shore amusement park.
Wildwood roller coaster?
You can't compare one to say it's a gondola ride in the Grand Canal.
He's going Venice and he's going
having
Wildwood.
Having a spritz. Versus the come on, it's not fair.
It's not right.
It's not right.
Wildwood roller coaster. He's going with a slingshot. Once one of the things comes off,
I feel great about it. I'm going to keep saying it. They're going to go on a run. Last 27 games.
You think so?
Yes.
All right.
I feel it.
What are we going? 20-7.
Yes, 20-7. 20-7. Jeff, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Jeff.
What's up, man?
Oh, there he is. I didn't hear from you the other day when Ben Simmons had that game of all games.
Hey, man, I didn't say that he wasn't a talent. I never said that. I just said that he drives me insane to watch. I don't want to get into it with you about Ben Simmons, but look what you just did, man.
Come on, man. Come on. You know I got to bring. I got to chirp after that game.
Well, you can't break my balls too much because I only have one of them.
Go for it, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm a one ball hitter, buddy.
Yeah, you got it, baby.
Right off the park. That's how I used to do it in middle school. I was a cleanup hitter for East Camden Middle. Knocked them things right over Dudley Grange Park.
You got it, my brother.
Yeah, so back to baseball. Yo, man. Mike doesn't think that J.D. Hammer is anything special.
Yeah,
did
I don't know.
Hard, has good location. I mean, he's throwing 97, 98 every pitch.
I got to tell you, I agree with him. I'm sorry.
But who's throwing like that in the league?
There's a lot of guys that throw. Are you nuts? There's a lot of guys that can throw
not on
in the upper 90s.
Not on this
team. The key's movement. We'll see. I mean, I'm not going to write them off, but we'll see. I'm not leading with that.
Well, Mike thinks that Hector Neris should still be the closer.
I mean, J.D. Hammer's got to show you that he can close.
Do you think?
And I'm still Sir Anthony. I'm not a Neris fan. I'm not an Hector fan. I'm not.
Neris should be in the bullpen rotation, man. He should be a bullpen guy. I'm talking like come in sixth, seventh inning with your creative pitching when a guy is getting right. rocked or something like that.
Listen, I don't disagree. I'm not a big Hector. I'm not a big Hector fan.
Because I come from the school of Lidge, Lights Out Lidge. Rich Williams, you know, power pitching guys that will blow you away when they Lidge, had enough rest.
Lidge wasn't a power pitcher, though. Lidge had stuff. He had movement.
I mean power as in power. I mean power as in just powerful, man. You know what I mean? Not just speed, just powerful stuff. Like, I got the power, you know, kind of, you know, wizardry is what I mean.
Yeah. Lidge didn't have a lot of wizardry in 2009.
2008, he did, and that's what counts. That's the last word. Look, man, I went to work with my. I don't want to repeat this because it was a mistake, big mistake. I had the World Series Budweiser can in the car. It was empty. I wasn't drinking, but that thing was in the car. I still got that in my briefcase upstairs. You know, the Phillies.
Sure. Yeah.
Cause I worked right around the corner at the time. I worked like three streets away, and which is you know, breaking the law. But I'm not going to break the law ever again because I shook hands with the most beautiful woman I've ever seen yesterday. You know who that is?
Who?
Police Commissioner Danielle Outlaw.
Oh yeah.
Smoking hot. And I hope that's not being inappropriate, but she's going to fix the city of Philadelphia. I can feel it.
All right. I like it, Jeffrey.
All right, buddy.
I like it. I like it, my man. I'm glad you're smitten with Danielle.
I've never committed another crime again.
All right. Well, don't. Yeah.
You weren't really
committing the crime.
No. And I never have before.
Right. All right. Just make sure. Your biggest crime to me is not appreciating Ben Simmons.
I didn't say I don't appreciate.
Yeah, you kind of don't.
He makes me mad. I know he makes you mad, but you don't want to admit it.
He does make me mad. I love Ben Simmons.
When he doesn't attempt the jump shot, when he doesn't do what his coach tells him.
It's not about the jump shot yet. It's not about. Not about. I got to run. Thanks, Jeff. I love you. It's 12 o'clock. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the fabulous 2020 Philly
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.